Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. We like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial. You can call in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. and give us your thoughts or comment on what the writer is saying. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to say a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. And my scripture reading for this evening is coming from Psalms 47, verses 1 through 9. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living the New King James Version. And it says, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The prince of the people have gathered together, the people of God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is greatly exalted. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to play another selection while we are waiting. Amen? Okay. Chico, leave that.
So confused. Then came along Jesus. He told me just what to do. I was having problems for many in my life, but I knew that he could make it right. So it's so brand new. Hear my favorite song, Jesus. I sing the praises of you. I know there'll be problems coming just to tear me, but with you I have the victory, victory.
Giving praise,
cause I remember he made a way out of no way.
Made a way out of no way. So for me,
Don't you think about it.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Come on.
Sing
along. Oh.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, yeah.
Let's worship.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Let us pray. Abba, Father, in Psalm 68 and 5 says, a father, Abba, of the fatherless, and a judge for the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Abba, you are a father to the fatherless and the defender of those in need. Holy is your name, for you stand above all. We lift up your name in praise and admiration, acknowledging you as our Father, a Father who is always there when we need you. Sometimes our earthly fathers abandon us or don't know how to be there when we need them. But when that happens, you rise up as our true Father. You fill the gap and bring comfort and guidance to each of us who seeks your face as Father. You have so many children, Abba, that we don't know how you could keep track of us all at one time, but you do. You are the greatest Father of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord.
Yes.
He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Yeah. lift our hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Abba, Father, how many times have we neglected to receive the comfort and care you have for us as our Father? Because we forget that you are there, or because we simply don't know you by this name. You are God. You are the Creator. You are holy. And sometimes that makes us feel as if you are also distant. Yet the name Abba Father tells us that you are not distant at all. In fact, you are as close to us as a father is to his child. When we are afraid, we will trust in you because you hold our cares in your hand. You hold our heart in your own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it is as simple as that. All you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you.
ashamed to share his light. Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled, As You Sit Quietly in My Presence. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, and it says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. And it says, For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And it says, You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, As You Sit Quietly in My Presence, Let Me Fill Your Heart and Mind with Thankfulness. This is the most direct way to achieve a thankful stance. If your mind needs a focal point, gaze at my love pour out for you on the cross. Remember that nothing in heaven or on earth can separate you from that love. Hallelujah, Jesus. This remembrance builds a foundation of gratitude in you, a foundation that certain circumstances cannot shake. As you go through this day, look for tiny treasures strategically placed along the way. I lovingly go before you, pleasures to brighten your day. Look carefully for them, pluck them one by one. When you reach the end of the day, you will have gathered a lovely bouquet. Offer it up to me with a grateful heart. Receive my peace as you lie down to sleep, with thankful thoughts playing a lullaby in your mind. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing unto you as it is unto me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you want to join us, please feel free to join us at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. And you can also give your thoughts and comment on what the writer is saying. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting for our speaker for this evening. Praise be to God.
Bye. Mardi Gras, put your hands together. Put them together, come on.
Yeah. breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Amen. Abba, Father, thank you for not leaving us as an orphan. Whether our earthly father is near and dear or is someone we do not know, we can't be everything we need in a father. Excuse me, he cannot be everything we need in a father, because no human being is perfect. Only you are perfect, and only you provide us with all of the loving, gentle care a daddy can give. Thank you for your patience, kindness, and goodness. Thank you for being merely a breath away. When we whisper your name, Abba, Father, you hear us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
I'm fine.
You on the bus?
Yes, I can't really participate that much, but I'm here.
Okay. Okay, our speaker is not here yet, so I'm going to play a short selection while we're waiting for her. Praise God.
Okay.
I'm a
For the Lord this evening. Praise be to God. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening who will be with us momentarily. In the meantime, I will play another short selection. Praise be to God. No, they are not. Short. Hopefully by the time I find one, our speaker will be with us. Amen. Praise God. Oh, well. Yeah, this is as short as it's going to get. Amen. Praise God. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, and I normally give our speakers 15-minute grace period. And again, while we're waiting, I will play another selection. And yeah. So right now I will play Fill Me Up by Tasha Cobbs while we're waiting on our speaker, who's running a little behind schedule, but praise God, 15 minutes grace period to each speaker that we have on our program. Praise be to God.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good, y'all. Raise it with it in emotion.
Provide the spirit.
praise be to God, everybody. And now, at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. Just ran in here, so.
Well,
anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to open with a
prayer. Okay.
I'm going to open with a prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before, a beautiful day, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and all that you're doing right now. Father God, I just ask that in my leaving the funeral home, I ask that you bless the bereaved family right now, Father God, just comfort them and let them know that you abide with them. You're there to strengthen them and comfort them and just be with them. Father God, I pray that they understand that and that you will continue with your unconditional love to rain down on them. Bless all those who are in attendance today and who will attend tonight. Bless all the families that are affiliated with this program. Apostle R.D. Wiggins, his lovely wife, Nadine Wiggins, Evangelist Hilda, Apostle Mother Wiggins, all of those, Father God. We thank you. Thank you for doing it, Lord God, because you didn't have to do it. Thank you for being so kind, for your grace, your mercy, your unconditional love, your generosity, your kindness, and your compassion. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you're just awesome. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. Pastor Kathy and Reverend Stephen and Pastor Stevens, all who are affiliated with this line. And Lord God, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And again, we adore you. Can't live without you. We thank you for everything, Lord God, everything that you do. Father God, and some things that you don't do too. Thank you, God, because we are blessed people. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Hallelujah and amen.
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 Amen. Good evening. How are you?
Oh,
Lady Nadine?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
I'm on the bus, so I can't really participate that much, but I'm here. I'm listening.
Praise the Lord, you know, could have been someplace else.
Amen.
While I'm getting my eyeglasses, I just had to stop by the farm market and get a few fresh things, too, as I came from the funeral home, but God is awesome.
I didn't hear who passed away.
A young man, I understand it might have been on the news, but anyway, he got shot in the back.
Oh, my goodness.
He was only 18 years old. And that might have been about 3 weeks ago, and he held on until last week. His name is Shamir. They call him Mackie.
Sorry to come by
and extend my condolences to the family, who I don't even know. But I did know Reverend Coates. She's a friend of mine, goes to West Baptist, and her daughter is his godmother. So I just wanted to pay my respects in that fashion.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Just the
yes.
Remember the woman that we went to the? How was she doing? Your friend that we went to the Met.
Yes, Juliet Abacina. She's doing fine, I would assume. I was texting her every morning the same way I text you, you and Evangelist and whoever. And she asked me yesterday not to text her anymore, and my understanding is that she is of a different religion, and so I can understand that. But I was trying to encourage her, and, you know, she texted me back to say that she was glad that I understand. But I was really trying to bring her to Jesus, and it's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as I know, she's, you know, I can't say, but I believe she's a good spirit, you know, I can't say. So just keep her in prayer, Juliet.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking, and I'll let her know that you did ask about her. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to go to page 198. We're not going to review. We're just going to continue B, the process of evolution. And this is in the chapter talking about evolution and origin, chapter 29. So the process of evolution. If one were to reduce the process to a formula, it would look like this. M, mutations, plus N, natural selection, times time, equals evolution. This formula expresses the mechanism of evolution. That's mutations. What's mutations?
Of a different
change
in the character.
Change. Mutation is a change. And natural selection, what is that? That's when I guess the weak, you know, don't survive for whatever reason, whether they're destroyed by a prey killing them or something, but the strong survive. That's what that is. Natural selection. And then time. Over a period of time, these things happen. Mutations, natural selection. And that is equivalent to evolution, which is, again, change. So mutations constitute the explanation for evolution. Mutations are sudden, small changes in the DNA code of the genes. I'm getting an echo, Evangelist, if you can fix that. Which
wait,
I passed.
You're on there, so, okay, I'll mute myself. Maybe it's coming from me.
Thank you, which are passed on to the offspring, causing them, that's better, to differ from their parents in well-marked characteristics. In other words, a small change in an organism is passed on to the offspring. Eventually, another small change appears by chance, etc. If enough of these occur and are preserved, then the organism will become more complex and evolve into a different organism, etc. This is the way all existing forms of life were produced from the simple single-cell original. The importance of mutations as the explanation for how evolution occurred cannot be overemphasized. Julian Huxley wrote, "Not only is it an effective agency of evolution, but it is the only effective agency of evolution." Natural selection is the mechanism that preserves the changes caused by mutations. When a change occurs that is beneficial to the organism, then natural selection will preserve that change simply because it is beneficial. Any harmful changes would not be preserved because natural selection would breed them out of the line as useless. A beneficial mutation is one that increases the complexity of the organism. It is important to remember that natural selection is just that, natural. It is not laboratory selection or hothouse selection. It means that selection process in raw nature that allegedly eliminates harmful mutations and keeps helpful ones. But this process, the strain of organisms is gradually improved given enough time. So what does that mean? Anyone want to elaborate on that? time and long periods of it.
I do want to say something about that. Because if you go back to everything revolves to me.
You're kind of muffled or something?
Talk louder.
The volume is fine. It's muffled. It's not really clear.
You can continue, though. I don't know how not to be muffled. I mean, I have a mask.
You have a mask on?
I'm just saying, the whole process of matching. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably the muffledness.
Yeah, she says she's on the bus.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't hear her say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on. What are you saying?
I said I'm on the bus.
Yes.
I'm just saying that the whole process of natural selection
mm-hmm.
is still manifested by God. You know.
You know,
the body and mutations and all of that stuff is still manifested by God. Even
exactly
decide what's beneficial and what's not beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So.
and it says that it's not laboratory and it's not hot house. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature
mm-hmm.
of it all comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
The naturalness of it comes
right.
from God, as you're saying.
Yes.
Amen. And the final one on that equation is time. And long periods of it are therefore necessary to evolution. Since mutations do not occur frequently, there will have to be a lot of time in order for enough of the beneficial mutations to occur than to be preserved by natural selection, thereby effectively changing the organisms to increasingly complex ones. In order to decrease the time required, some evolutionists posit births of mutations having occurred at about the same time, which affected a number of beneficial changes in an organism almost immediately, thus foreshortening the time required for the necessary changes to take place. Anyone want to talk about that? Time.
No.
Sometimes it's a burst of change. And things happen suddenly, but normally it's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, problems of evolution. A, problems in mutations. Can mutations really do all they are alleged to do? Consider the following.
Mm.
Mutations are rare and almost always harmful. In the fruit fly experiment where mutations were produced by artificial means, it is estimated that only one fruit fly out of 1 million will develop a mutation. Furthermore, Theodosius Dobzhinsky, who conducted many fruit fly experiments, acknowledged that most mutants are more or less disadvantageous, and that the deleterious character of most mutations seems to be a very serious difficulty. Okay? Any questions?
No.
Number two. Where do new genes come from? No, you're echoing. No mutation has ever produced a new species or even a new organ or system in an existing species. Let me say that again. No mutation has ever produced a new species or even a new organ or system in an existing species yet. This had to occur if evolution is valid. Protozoa, for instance, do not have teeth. Where then did the genes come from that produce teeth? If we have evolved from protozoa. I hear some chuckling on the line.
Mm.
Mutations concern changes in existing organisms, They do not produce new ones. Yet somewhere and somehow along the line, new species had to be produced and even new systems, like the circulatory system or the hearing system, had to be produced within existing species. Thoughts about that? No? Here is a sample.
I mean,
of
this
how
is awesome. This is absolutely, I think it's awesome, you know, because these
it
are
is.
True things. I mean, come on.
Yes. And like you said, but God. I mean, you know, they had no lines of teeth, but now they got teeth, so nobody could do that before. Okay.
And circulatory system, really?
And the hearing system.
You know how intricate the circulatory system is?
There are miles and miles of veins in the body.
Yes.
And intestines and stuff, I mean. Oh, anyway, so here is a sample of how evolution wrestles with this question. If mutation, which is the only form of hereditary change of which we have definite evidence, is always change in genes already present, it would be a first sight, it would be at first sight that we have here no basis at all for understanding the evolution of novelties or new things in the organization of the body. For their evolution, we surely need new hereditary factors, not change in those already present. But we must remember that conditions in the body and in the hereditary material are extremely complex. Possibly changes in the distribution of enzymes in the body, if they were somehow brought about, might cause new differences in rate of growth of parts, as for instance, in a part of the frontal bones of the skull, resulting in the early evolution of horns. It is hard to see how redistribution of this enzyme could be brought about by mutation of a gene. But in view of the complexity of the conditions in the body, and it's very complex, it may perhaps be possible. Also, it is not impossible that new genes may be evolved. We know that genes happen. One member of such a pair might become so altered by mutation as to give us functionally a new one. So they're saying that genes can be altered.
Right, so here's
the thing. Excuse me?
They can, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. When a gene is altered or there's a mutation in a gene, you know, even if you're looking at the theory that they're saying about natural selection. So you have mutation, and then natural selection is supposed to take from that mutation that which is beneficial, right? That's
right.
What we just read.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about mutations. Mutations are never good. These mutations are never good things. Because when you have, like, for example, which I was just doing more information about, the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which is related to breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes because the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, the purpose of it is to prevent cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But people who end up with, who have that gene, it's a gene mutation that causes that heredity in families with breast cancer. It's when that
mm-hmm.
BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene is mutated, and that gene
right.
is passed on from generation to generation. So there's no mutation that's good. You're not going to have a well-functioning body based on mutations.
Mm. Well,
scientists.
I would say that in some cases, and I can't be specific now, but I think we might get to that
in some cases, that change might be good, might be beneficial. Not when it's going to be an affliction or a disease or something, but when it's going to be something that causes the cell or whatever to function better. Amen?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying
that's
that
what it does, but
don't have to be negative. Well, we're going to find, you know, we're going to find out. And yes, I agree with you in that case with those particular genes. It's not good. It's not good. So let me go.
Yeah.
These suggestions are purely
okay.
hypothetical. For the present, we cannot say more than that novelties of organization undoubtedly occur in evolution. New things in evolution.
Okay.
New things in organizations occur in evolution. Okay? That they are essential to the increase in complexity, which is associated with progress in evolution. That we have no accurate knowledge of the details of their evolution.
Hmm.
This appears to be more an exercise in faith than fact. B, problems in natural selection. Does natural selection really guarantee improvement? Of course it must do so. Otherwise, if a weak substrain developed, it would soon die out and there would be no evolution at all. But the problem is, will natural selection bring improvement? Laboratory selection may, but will natural? An evolutionist, so that means if the scientists are fooling around with it, it may. They know what, you know, what they're looking for, and they inject certain things to cause whatever the outcome that they're looking for. But that's not natural. That's the scientist interfering with whatever it is that's in the laboratory that they're trying to see an outcome, a particular outcome. So laboratory selection may, but will natural. An evolutionist acknowledges this problem. In fact, natural selection with evolutionary consequences has only been observed where men have created drastically new conditions which impose a heavy selection pressure. Okay, someone want to explain that?
I don't know what it all means.
So it's saying that natural selection has consequences with the evolution. So people have looked at it, men have looked at it, and created drastically new conditions which cause a problem.
Okay.
So they made a change to whatever it was that was natural, and they ingested or interjected some chemical, something, serum or whatever they did, you know, and caused it to change. And so it has been observed when men have done this and created drastically new conditions which impose heavy selection pressure, that change may not be reproduced because they had some interference from men. So whatever
right.
they're looking for,
yeah.
they're trying to say, what do you think about that, Nadine?
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense because, they try to improve a situation, and then they end up just altering it even more and making it even
exactly.
more worse.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Then, and it imposes drastically harmful new conditions which impose a heavy selection pressure, which means it may not be passed on. And it's drastic, so who wants it to pass on anyway? Okay, number
exactly.
two. Right. That's where man gets involved in things that really ought to be leave it up to God.
Left alone.
Anyway. But they're trying to make it better, quicker, faster, smoother, all of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As scientists, they're researching, they're experimenting. All right. Number two.
I mean, there's nothing. there's like nothing wrong, you know, with science and research. I mean, it's necessary, just in, you know, it's kept people alive, like the vaccines and, you know, medications and stuff like that. But, you know, when it comes down to trying to use that same theory on evolution or how a man was created, that's where, you know, none of this makes sense.
Thank you.
Right. Exactly. And then it says, as it ends in part A, that last line, this appears to be more an exercise in faith than fact. Mm-hmm. All right? Number two, under B, single mutation. Would natural selection recognize the worth of a single mutation while waiting for other mutations to happen that would be necessary for the production of a new system in the organism? In the evolution of the eye, for example, if the mutation that made the tear duct occurred first, would natural selection keep it in the organism until other mutations happen that produce the lashes, slit, cornea, etc.? Or would natural selection breed out the organism that had a tear duct but no other components of a seeing system simply because it was not useful alone? All right, so when certain things appear,
that's so true.
You know, when certain things
like,
first,
well, nobody needs this tear duct because it ain't got the rest of the eye to go with it.
Exactly. So would that be useful? No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't be.
But God.
That's right. But God.
Amen.
Nobody but God.
Three, circular argument. The interaction of mutations and natural selection to explain evolution is a circular argument. What does that mean? It's a circular argument.
It keeps going up around. Keeps going around and around and around. That's what I think. I don't know.
There's no ending.
There's no ending. It really is no answer.
Exactly.
You know, this leads to that and that leads to this, and it's back and forth, and it's just no answer. All right. So Julian Huxley admitted it clearly. On the basis of our present knowledge, natural selection is bound to produce genetic adaptations, and genetic adaptations are thus presumptive evidence for the efficacy of natural selection. So, read that one more time. On the basis of our present knowledge, what we know now, natural selection is bound to produce genetic adaptations. Things are going to change with the genes. And genetic adaptations are thus presumptive evidence for the efficiency, the efficacy of natural selection. Okay?
Okay.
See?
So that's the circular thing about it. So,
yeah.
So it's natural selection is needed for genetic adaptation. But genetic adaptation needs natural selection. So it just keeps
back and forth. Genetic.
It's just back and forth.
Natural selection. Genetic produces presumptive evidence of the efficiency or the efficacy of natural. It's back and forth. It's a circular.
Right.
Circular argument.
Right.
Thank you. C, problems in the length of time required. Even though mutations are rare and usually harmful, and even though natural selection would most likely breed out a mutant from the strain, it seems quite plausible to laymen that given enough time, anything, even evolution, can happen. Huxley explains, all living things are equally old. They can all trace their ancestry back some 2,000 million years. With that length of time available, little adjustments can easily be made to add up to miraculous adaptations. And the slight shift of gene frequency between one generation and the next can be multiplied to produce radical improvements and totally new kinds of creatures. What do you think about that, if anything?
What do they mean that it could improve totally new kinds of creatures?
Things can change.
In 2,000 years. We know that things can change, but do they change for the better or do they change for the worse?
Well, there's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
So all these things have been there. So everything this author is saying is old. With the length of time, little change can easily be made to add up to miraculous adaptation, little change. Mm-hmm. And the slight shifts, the little changes of gene frequency between one generation and the next can be multiplied to produce radical improvement and totally new kinds of creatures. So people change. Things change. Plants change. But such a claim can be challenged.
And I guess if you look at...
to the test.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Go on.
No, I was thinking about, like, when it says, where it talks about how things, you know, can change
mm-hmm.
For the improvement, you know, when you think about the knowledge that, say, man has now compared to knowledge
mm-hmm.
that somebody may have had 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that is a change. I don't know if it's a genetic change, and it could be because you know how we say, how babies are born now, they with the eyes open and years ago,
yes.
And they didn't open their eyes for a while. And
mm-hmm.
now they, as soon as they come out, they got the eyes wide open. So I guess you can see, like, look at those type of changes, you know,
right.
in humans.
Mm-hmm.
And also with discovering new things that enhances man's knowledge and understanding and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he can break down certain
right.
things and, you know, speak about it, write about it, you know, talk about it, give lectures and whatever about it, and give
mm-hmm.
us a better understanding of what's
mm-hmm.
transpiring, what's changing. Look at climate change.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
You know, people would not
don't
believe that the world is changing. It's warming up.
Yep.
And we can see it in different
mm-hmm.
types of the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that, I think it was last year, around this time, we had freezing temperatures already. This is November the 23rd.
Yeah.
They said
yeah.
around October 1 year, not so much last year, but around October, we had snow.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that year?
Yeah.
They had, you know,
yes.
around Halloween. But
yes.
it's changing.
Yeah.
It's changing. And the Bible speaks about that. You won't know the season
right.
except for
right.
the what's the rest of that quote?
You will know not the season mm-hmm. nor the times. Something.
Mm-hmm.
But for the budding of the trees.
Oh, I don't know.
Right, right. The budding of
the trees. So the trees, yeah, the trees are still going to do what they do
mm-hmm.
until something else, you know, disturbs whatever. But except for the budding of the trees, they know when it's spring. They know when it's time to bud. You know,
yes.
the flowers come and all of that.
Yes.
But except mm-hmm. for the budding of the trees, we're not going to know the season. Because you got summery days in the fall.
They got months together.
You know, in the winter and all of that
right.
kind of thing. So it's crazy.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
the North Pole.
Right.
It's melting.
Melting.
Oh, you
know,
the North Pole is melting. Yeah.
The animals are suffering because the polar bears are not
yes.
used to water. They're used to ice.
Exactly.
And the water underneath the ice, but they're not, you know, it's changing.
It's warmer. The water is warmer.
It's, right. That's why it's water and it's not ice. It's warm. It's
exactly.
Changing.
And you notice that the animals are starting to come down further down and closer to the cities and things now because why? Everything up there where they belong is melting.
Well, I know they've seen some bears in residential areas.
Oh, yes.
You know, and they'd be like, where are these bears coming from? They're looking for food.
Yes.
You know, they go and ransack garbage cans and whatever, you know, looking for something to eat. Because where their natural habitat is, apparently, it's not doing the job.
Yeah, man, stop cutting down all the trees.
So we can see the change.
Yes.
So continue on. Okay. Unless someone else wants to say something.
Yep.
No, go ahead.
Okay, the odds are 10,161 degrees, I guess, to one that not one usable protein would have been produced by chance in all the history of the earth using all the appropriate atoms on earth at the fantastic rate described. This is a figure containing 161 zeros. Ooh, I don't even know what that number is. That even if one molecule were obtained, it would not help at all in arranging the second protein molecule unless there existed an accurate duplication process. Even if there were such a process, there are many other kinds of proteins needed before there can be a living organism. In Marowitz's minimal cell, the 239 protein molecules required includes at least 124 different protein species, italics, and originals. So I don't know how many zeros are in a zillion, but apparently this is more than a zillion.
Absolutely.
So others
maybe
have arrived. Say that?
No. I was just thinking out loud.
Others have arrived at similar conclusions about the probability of forming one protein molecule by chance. French scientist Lacombe du Noir said it is one chance out of 10 to the 243rd power. Swiss mathematician Charles Ogi calculated it is as one chance out of 10 to the 160th power. Murray Eaton of MIT and Marcel Schutzenberger of the University of Paris both concluded that their digital computers showed that evolution was impossible. While probability is expressed by fractions such as 1 in 5 million times, and when the fraction is as small as these are for the chance production of a protein molecule, then the mathematician would declare the probability of it happening as zero. In other words, never happened.
Wow.
The evolutionist would likely point out that there still exists a chance, the evolutionist. However, infinitesimal of evolution happening because of the billions of years involved. However, even billions of years will not reduce the probability enough to put it in the range of reasonable possibility. So with all of that, they're saying it's highly unlikely that this would happen.
Okay.
The evolutionists say, but they're saying no. That's not likely. So David Heiser tested the well-known statement that if a million monkeys were permitted to strike the keys of a million typewriters for a million years, they might, by chance, type a copy of a Shakespearean play. Come on. Setting up a controlled experiment with only... Setting up a controlled experiment with capital letters, continuous typing at a uniform rate of speed, and requiring only the first verse of Genesis, he shows that a million monkeys would never type Genesis 1 and 1, let alone in billions of years, even to type the first line of Hamlet. Will require an average of a number of repeated experiments, 284 trillion years, a period considerably longer than it took evolution to do all it supposedly did. So the obvious conclusion of this is simply that it requires an incredible amount of faith to believe that evolution could have caused, by chance, all life that ever did or does now exist. Let me read that again. The obvious conclusion of this is simply that it requires an incredible amount of faith to believe that evolution could have caused, by chance, all life that ever did or does now exist.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Right.
No way.
Well, you know, I like the fact that he says faith. But to me, it requires, I guess it is faith in knowing that God does not exist. You have to be a real freaking atheist.
Yes.
And you have to be totally blind to actually believe evolution. With all of this in your faith, and none of this makes any sense whatsoever, that is a form of faith. Because you have faith in the fact that God doesn't exist. And you have faith in the fact that you want to believe this nonsense just so that you don't have to believe in God.
Exactly.
This is basically what he's saying, that all of that, to believe all of this stuff that we read about, mutations and natural selection, to believe all of that requires faith.
That's right.
All right?
Yep.
And that it could have, by chance, all life that ever did or does now exist. We have to have, so that's not going to work.
No.
Could life have evolved by chance? The probability of forming one protein molecule by chance is 1 in 10 to the 243rd power, which is a figure of 1 followed by 243 zeros. The probability of it happening by chance is 10 to the 243rd power.
All right,
this fraction is so small that one may say that the probability is zero.
Zero.
One chance out of, you could just look at it because I can't,
I
guess that's
too many zeros.
Right.
That's a lot of zeros.
That's a lot of zeros. Don't even know how to enunciate the number that it is.
Exactly.
I've never seen that before. All right. What time is it? Okay. I'll read this last.
No,
because we got only 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to stop right there.
Okay.
It's party.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is all of this. You know, they say it was 10 to the 243rd power, and all that it amounts to zero.
Zero.
There's nothing happening with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nothing happening with that. So, you know, get over yourself. It's not nothing happening like that.
See, that's the problem with man. Man is too smart for their own good, or they try to
be. Sometimes they are.
Yes.
Sometimes they are.
And then why, you know, and you're going to continue to teach this in school.
Yes.
Knowing that it doesn't even make sense scientifically. Because you're talking about, you're basing this on scientific evidence.
But your scientific mm-hmm. evidence is there is no evidence for your scientific
exactly.
Conclusions about evolution. But yet this is still being taught in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution. There is no scientific evidence to
nothing to back
to,
that up.
To base it on.
Nope.
To nothing to back it up.
Yes, sir.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of faith, they said, to believe that hogwash. So
absolutely, you have to have faith from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet to believe
wherever.
That.
You got to have faith to believe that nonsense, because
exactly.
this book is saying
yeah.
it's not happening. It did not happen.
At all.
It didn't happen.
Awesome lesson.
I just want to ask Lady Nadine to take us out, but I just want to say to everybody, happy, happy Thanksgiving. Have a safe one.
Same to
How's
you.
Mother doing? How's Mother doing?
So Mother's home. Robin has spent
okay.
the time with her. I didn't get to call her today. But
okay.
She's home. He said he got her into the bed because she hadn't been in her bed.
What?
She was sitting up in a chair, so her legs were so swollen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
But
how is
she
going to get out?
She can get out. He wants to get out. She can manage around the house.
Yes.
Hmm.
For a period of time, she has not been resting
in her bed. Right, right. She's just, she sleeps in the chair.
It's hard to get in and get out, I guess.
It is. And a lot
of elderly
people, they buy these reclining chairs or a regular chair that they can get in and out of. And most of the time, that's where they sleep.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So she needs, what she needs is some side rails on her bed. She don't necessarily have to get a hospital bed, but she needs to put side rails so she can grab onto the rails to help pull herself up.
To pull herself
up. And that would be, a major, major help for her. But, she pretty much got herself organized with the move. Carry her down the stairs.
Uh-huh.
And that's why she said this fall was a blessing. She said this fall was a blessing.
Yeah.
When she felt, she asked God why. And she found out why. Because she found somebody who's going to be able to move her out of there. And it was almost like a trial run, her going down the stairs, being lifted down the stairs.
Yes.
That was a fear. But now, since it's already happened, she know that it could happen, So that was something that she was
glad to know. I didn't know. I wanted to call her, but I said, no, let me just find out. And
I called her, but her
mm-hmm.
voicemail came on and the machine is full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's full. It's full.
Mm-hmm.
It's full. I know when she was in the while she was talking to me in the emergency room, she told me that, she probably didn't get a chance to charge her phone. I don't know. Because, see, her charger
mm-hmm.
is in the bathroom. She only has one place to plug in the phone, and that's the charger that's in the bathroom. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what. But she was supposed to have her aide was supposed to come today. And I had even said to her, because she only usually has the aide twice a week. I told her she probably needs the aide. Told her when she moves over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she moves over here, she needs the aid every day.
But don't they
don't
they have their own health care workers?
What they do there at Cate is that they have somebody come in once a week to clean, change your linen, do your laundry. But they don't have people on a regular basis.
I see.
Coming in and helping you out. Like, they come in sporadically. They'll have people, like, very sporadic. Like, for example,
I had a patient in there, and the patient had couldn't get out her chair. Mm-hmm. She had a chair. She was another one sleeping in a chair, couldn't get out the chair. So they were able to get an aide to go there to help her to get out the chair. So it's just like sporadic things like that. They can have somebody come and help you with it. But other than that, I mean, no.
That's a nursing home.
They call it, please don't even say nursing home.
Please.
Don't even call it a nursing home.
It's a
living
facility.
It's a senior housing.
Senior housing.
Senior housing.
Oh, yeah, that's because that's what my husband, my sister's husband lives in. They have the social worker and everybody right on the premises.
Okay.
Right. So, and the reason why
please
I'm saying that
don't say nursing
is because the woman who's she's the director of that place. You know, we used to work together, so I know it because I worked for Jewish Home for many years, and that's owned by Jewish Home, and her name is Arlene. She's the director there. And please don't make a mistake and say nursing home. She would go, this is not.
Absolutely.
It's a person. You
don't
have to be. That's why
that word
interview you. Because they're not. That's why they interview you. Because you have to be alert and oriented. You know, it's okay if you have some difficulties walking or you need a walk or something. But your mind got to be sharp. And that's one thing about mother. Mother's mind is sharp. So. When they interviewed her, she was, you know, she right on point, okay?
Wow.
Because then you can't have dementia. You can't have any of that stuff coming in there.
Nope.
Okay? Because it's like you got to be, you got to actually be self-directed, mentally, you know, on point to live there.
Mm-hmm. And just one last thing for now. So is it near you?
Yes, walking distance.
Okay.
Yep, it's literally walking distance from me. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't want to divulge too much because, you know,
yes,
you don't want to talk about stuff, but she's quite eager. God bless her. God bless her.
Amen.
I'll try to reach out to her I didn't know the situation, so thank you for letting me know.
Thank you.
When you're ready, you can take us out in prayer.
All right. Yeah.
Praise God.
Oh, God. Lord God, we thank you for this lesson, Lord God. We thank you for Sister Barbara, who just made this lesson so easy for us to understand, Lord God.
Yes,
we just thank you because, Lord God, you know all this scientific stuff can be very confusing, but
amen.
You know, her presentation of it, Lord God, just and the explanations just simplified it for us, Lord God, although we know. In our hearts, who is our creator, Lord God. We have no doubt in you, Lord God, as being our creator, Lord
God.
But it was important for us to understand how others think, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to lift Mother Wiggins up in prayer, Lord God, that
Lord.
You know that all goes well with her, Lord God, that she also, Lord God, connects with a doctor, Lord God, so that she can be the best that she could possibly be, Lord God.
Yes.
So we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for what it is that you've done and what it is that you're going to do in her life, Lord God.
Yes,
so
God.
We just bless your holy name, Lord God, because you are so awesome. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, in precious Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that awesome prayer. Thank you. Love you, ladies, and anybody else.
Love
listening.
You, too.
Love you too.
Enjoy
love
Thanksgiving.
Have a fabulous Thanksgiving.
Well, we're
you
going
to make
be
it high.
Okay, all right, then.
Young ladies, huh?
Huh?
You, are you cooking?
Sound like I heard the doctor. Are you baking a pie this year?
Nadine?
Oh, Hilda.
No, she said,
Nadine
are you baking a pie?
Who's baking? No, I don't.
You.
No, I'm not baking no
you.
Pie. Somebody's baking one for me, though. I'm happy.
Oh, okay.
Who? Hilda. Hilda. Are you baking, Hilda?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Barbara, do you usually bake?
No.
I
got a You know, I ordered from Swiss Colony. I got a fruit cake. And I had told a friend of mine, Laura Jean, that I wanted a pecan pie like a month ago or whatever. And she got me a pecan pie. Mm-hmm. So Sunday. Oh, so I got pecan pie. I got cookies.
Oh, good.
And, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Turkey. We got turkey out today. Giveaway turkey. I got steak. So shrimp. I think I'm going to leave the shrimp out. But anyway.
That's oh, good.
Some turnips and some turnip greens tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, we going out. We made reservations, my friend. We going out for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
To a restaurant. Nobody felt like cooking. So we all go. The whole, you know, the family, we all going out. Even though Pastor talking about, I still need to have my daughters, and a really close friend of mine and her kid, her daughters and child. But the thing about it is that Robert still want me to cook. I said, if I'm going out, what in the world would I be cooking for?
Because he's going to be hungry when he come home. You know, every time you go out to dinner, you always make a dinner at home because going out later on, you're going to be hungry.
That's where he got that from. Stop it. Stop it. You eat whatever we have in this house. What are you talking about? Later on, you're going to still be hungry. You can eat whatever's in here. Make a sandwich.
No.
That's right. I'm like, what in the world would I be going out for Thanksgiving and cook too?
We do it every year. We still cook our dinner at home, and we still go out.
Well, let me ask you this. Are we having a class tomorrow?
Well, if you're cooking in a dinner,
wait, Hilda. If you're cooking a dinner, save a plate for Pastor, okay?
Are we having class tomorrow? Nadine?
No.
Okay.
Because tomorrow I'm going. So here's the thing. Let me just explain this to you really quickly.
Okay.
Shani is not joining us for dinner because she's going to have dinner with her fiance family, right, in Connecticut.
Oh. Okay.
So they usually take turns, right? So her fiance's family is in Connecticut, so she's going to the kids. But she still wants to have dinner with us, with me, Robin, Tia. So she's cooking tomorrow. Shani is cooking tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So we go into her house tomorrow. Because she's like, I'm going with Roy. I'm going to miss my family. I'm like, well, you got to get used to that. You know, they alternate. I said, you got to get used to that. You get married. You got to get used to alternating, family dinners, especially around the holidays. And when y'all have kids, the kids got to go with one grandparent one year and the other grandparent.
Yeah, they got to
So she said, well, I'm going to cook dinner tomorrow so I can at least have dinner with my, you know, with my family. You know, our family is small.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That sounds good. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
So
have a blessing.
Thank you.
We're having rehearsal on Friday.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to talk. Well, I'll talk to Pastor. I don't know. We'll have to find out from Pastor.
So because
if what
he
wants to do this holiday week.
Gonna,
I have no
then
idea.
We are going to have a 3-day holiday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yeah.
Which is really cool because I don't have to work. I mean, I have to work tomorrow, but I don't have to work Friday.
Thursday.
And I would like to just chill on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Chill on Thursday and Friday. Yeah. So, I'm talking about it. We'll do that.
There's no program tomorrow either?
No. If she's not going to do the lesson, then why am I going to do do the program, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you get a real Wednesdays. Vacation, Hilda.
Oh, yes. The first time in how many years?
I know.
I think
good,
I deserve
a real
vacation. I deserve
you do.
Because I didn't
absolutely
have no summer vacation. I didn't get. I was
so
always
on Thursday
on the program.
And Friday, no class, right? No program.
Right.
Well,
you
okay.
Guys don't come on Thursday and Friday anyway. Just tomorrow, you'd have no program.
No, but I just saw soldiers, and they're having a program on Thursday.
Oh, I don't know about them because
oh, right.
I can't. I can never get to go on
Thursday
anyway.
Night. I do Thursday with the bowling.
Oh, so you can probably peep in on there. You can probably peep in with them once, or since you're gonna be on vacation. You can peep in.
Yes. It's awesome, though. It really is.
With that,
it's really. They get like 15 minutes to bring a sermon, and sometimes it goes over because they pray, you know. But yeah, if you get a chance, evangelist, and not, you know, I'm not sure if I'm coming on, but. They said Thursday night they're still gonna go on.
Right.
Well, see the
7 o'clock.
They're on the same time that I'm on.
But you're not gonna be on Thursday.
No, I
know. That?
Generally. Oh, right.
Yeah. So
but
this
then,
Thursday,
hey,
if
I'm not gonna be on Pray One for Another, and I'm gonna be doing something else, I mean, like, okay, this is my day to enjoy.
Well, you're gonna be eating.
Okay.
You're gonna be eating.
And laughing
and
dancing.
Well, I don't dance.
And having a good time.
That's it. That's what the holiday is about. Having a joyful, peaceful time with the family, listening to all the corny jokes.
Right.
Well, if you're so inclined, 7 o'clock. Okay, like
okay.
I said, I'm not sure, but I think I'm going to try to come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Love you all.
All right.
Have a blessed
love you too.
Beautiful.
Enjoy.
Love you too.
Beautiful one. All right?
Bye.
You too. Bye, everybody. I'm not playing the music. I'm just closing out.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Shalom.
Shalom.